The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Yes. And then, of course, if you had the Cruise Pitt thing, then you'd have parts where, you know, Brad Pitt is eating rats to stay alive. And he'd be interviewed by Christian Slater.
Welcome to Sincast, presented by CinemaSins.
Welcome to the Sincast. This is Chris Atkinson from CinemaSins, joined by Jonathan Watkins.
Hello, hello.
And today we're going to be doing a mini pod.
Ferrari pod?
Nah, that's about it. That's about as good as you're going to get. Of Ford v. Ferrari. Which is weird because we were talking about this earlier.
Yeah.
It makes it sound like there was some sort of court case, and maybe there was, but
maybe.
There's no court case in this movie.
No, not at all. This isn't like Roe versus Wade or Roe v. Wade.
Right. So this is Ford versus Ferrari in the game of trying to win Le Mans.
Yes.
The
24 hours of Le Mans.
24-hour race, which I didn't realize that even existed.
No, and that's one thing I think, I don't know, I think you're kind of in the same boat as me. I know nothing about racing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a racing fan. Nothing about racing really interests me. I'm not even a car person.
No, I'm definitely not. I've been around a lot of people who love NASCAR and stuff like that. And
yeah, me too. And, well, we're in the South.
And
so.
Yeah, and well, you know, it's funny. I was out at a bar in Nashville one night, and somebody struck up a conversation with me and said, "Hey, you watching that race tomorrow?" And I was like,
yeah.
"Hey, we are. We're in the South." Blah blah blah. I was like, "Nah, man, I'm not much into racing and stuff." And he goes, "You're from the South, man." It's like he's like, "I'm from L.A."
I mean, I guess it's got to be universally loved, it wouldn't be as big as it is.
It's definitely universally loved, but I'm not on that thing. I do have that sort of like it feels like all I'm watching is people turning left.
Yes,
a whole bunch. That's what it seems like to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like any sport in the sense that like if you're not getting into it more than the surface level, I'm not engaging with it for whatever reason. Like I am a baseball game or a football game or something. So, but obviously people do. So.
The last big racing movie that I remember coming out was Rush, Ron Howard, which I really like that movie.
It's a very good movie, and it's one of Ron Howard's best.
It's one of his best, and I don't think very many people saw it when it came out. And I don't know how many people have seen it since, but when it came on like HBO or something that, I used to watch it all the time. It's such a good movie.
Yeah, it's one of those that definitely, it seems to get brought up a lot as like an underappreciated, especially if people are talking about Ron Howard or they're talking about Chris Hemsworth or maybe just talking about movies from the last decade. It's definitely one of those. So I still think not enough people have seen it.
Yeah.
But it's really good.
Yeah, so Ford v. Ferrari stars Matt Damon and Christian Bale. We got a James Mangold movie.
Yes.
Mangold, if you had a discernible style out of Mangold, what would you say it is?
I was trying to think about that because he's a really interesting filmmaker. Like he's done films that are just like all over the map. Like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, from Logan, Walk the Line.
Yeah.
You know, Heavy, and which I guess Heavy was kind of probably his early one, but
that seems like to me to be the main. Maybe that's not a style, but maybe some sort of trademark of his is that he likes to go into the small town, small town life. Maybe, you know, I don't know. It's it is hard to pin him down.
Well, I think he definitely likes characters that are kind of on the outskirts, like you have with Bale, especially Bale's character in this movie, but Logan fits that. Copland, definitely,
yeah,
you know, with the Stallone character, and even like he did Girl Interrupted. I mean, even that, you know, you have so I Walk the Line, obviously, Johnny Cash is so maybe if anything, maybe I would throw something like that in there. Now, I don't know what you get from Kate and Leopold, but
exactly. But yeah, this is it stars Christian Bale, Matt Damon. Christian Bale plays a racer named Ken Miles, who has been always sort of like on the fringes of making it big.
Yeah.
But he's such a bad like politician, essentially.
Yeah.
That he's never been able to like bullshit his way into like a big sponsorship.
Yeah,
or
he
like
sounds
that.
Like that guy that like if you were really into racing, like you would know who he was.
Yes.
But if you were just kind of a casual fan, like he's definitely not going to pop up like a, you know, like a, I can't even think of anybody else, like a Richard Kelly or that's not Richard Petty.
Richard Kelly.
This is how much I know about racing.
Donnie Darko director Richard Kelly.
You know, or like, you know, Dale Earnhardt or something.
Yeah, yeah.
He's never going to be in that kind of top. But I think people knew who he was if you were really into the sport.
Yeah, and he's obviously like the nerdy, but like asshole nerdy kind of guy where he works at an auto shop, and one of the first scenes is a guy coming in about his car, and then Ken tells him that he's driving his car incorrectly.
Yeah, and he should get a different car.
Yeah,
like what is he like? Is it a Plymouth or something that he recommends that he goes and gets?
Yes, and then
you get to see the guy drive off, and surely enough, he cannot drive that car.
Yeah, yeah. And then you have Carroll Shelby, who is a guy who. He dabbled in racing, but mainly his thing is making cars.
Yeah.
That's his main business. And he's got a business that's the Shelby American.
Yeah.
Something like that. And so he's sort of renowned for building cars. And in fact, there's like a tossed off line somewhere where it said Steve McQueen as wanting one of his cars.
Yeah. Yeah.
They didn't get deeply into that whole, like he must be building cars for celebrities, but they do throw that line in there.
Yeah. Cause he's like, and I didn't really completely understand that bit where like those people were going to buy that car, and he's wanted them to do the paperwork and make the payment, but he wasn't actually going to sell them the car.
Yeah. I don't know either. I think this is just me talking out of my ass.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it is the idea that you have gotten somebody to want a car so badly that by the end of it, when you say, I can't give you this car, I've already promised it to Steve McQueen, they'll either buy that car in advance or they'll buy another car that's on the lot, which
that's
I think is
true.
the main thing, buy another car on the lot because they don't want to leave empty handed is sort of the,
gotcha. Yeah, that's probably right.
Sort of the tactic I think is being made there. But, so he's a car maker. Miles is a driver. He's a, you know, he's a gearhead, all that type of thing. Meanwhile you have, Ford, led by the great Tracy Letts, playing Henry Ford II in this.
Yeah,
the more and more I see Tracy Letts, the more I'm like, I got to see everything this guy's ever done.
What is it you really like him from, though?
Well, he's great in The Big Short.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He's got a small part in there, but even in that small part in there, he's got that great moment with Christian Bale.
Yeah.
Where Bale said, like, you know, I'm not going to let anybody have their money back until this has gone through and everything. And Tracy Letts is like, give me my money back. Give me my money back, you motherfucker. You motherfucker. And I've seen him in a ton of other things.
Yeah,
and,
well, he was in, he was in The Center, which was a really good show. He had a bit of, he's in Lady Bird. Mm-hmm. He was in Homeland.
Yeah.
So he's definitely he's an interesting guy, and he nails this role. Like he's perfect as that kind of like head of a big corporation and and all that fun stuff.
Yeah. So he's thrown down the gauntlet at his own company. He stops production in the middle of a factory to tell everybody that they need to come up with an idea to beat Chevy is what their main is. Their competitor there to beat Chevy or everybody. It's basically the Alec Baldwin, Glengarry Glen Ross thing where they're like, one person gets their keep their job. Everybody else can just stay home. But Joe Bernthal plays Lee Iacocca in this, and his idea is to take on Ferrari in the racing arena. And because now people, the pitch is kids born after World War II are now able to drive. They have more money than any kid has ever had before. And they like to see these cool cars like James Bond drives. And And this is what the kind of car that they
want. These would be the boomers, right? These would be who we're making fun of.
Oh, now. Yeah. These are the boomers.
Causing problems.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's a good. I love John. Is it Bernthal?
Joe Bernthal. Yeah.
It's John Bernthal.
John Bernthal.
Yeah. I love John Bernthal. He's one of those. Every time I see him, I just really like him a lot. I don't think he gets enough work, although he's in a lot of stuff.
He gets plenty of work, he may not just get enough credit.
Maybe that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like he's the Punisher on the Netflix series.
He's in Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah. He was in the first couple seasons of Walking Dead. He's in Baby Driver. Mm-hmm. He just seems to get to be in these really cool projects and he always stands out in them, and he's really good here, as are most people in this movie.
Yeah, but so that's that. So his idea is to take on Ferrari, and so the whole movie at this point is Ford sort of their internal fighting about what they should do. Them trying to acquire Ferrari at one point, and then finally building a car that can beat Ferrari at Le Mans. And of course, because of these two stories have to converge, they call on Carol and Ken to help them out. So anyway, that's the main story. I want to get into spoilers here in a minute, but what is your grade for this?
I really like this movie.
Yeah.
From beginning to end, I had a blast. There's one character in this movie that bugs me just because he's so generic, and maybe we'll wait till spoilers to talk about that. But the Josh Lucas character is the one, not to get too deep into it. He was just a little too sketched out.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. But everything else about this movie, I like. Damon and Bale, I want to see them in everything now together.
I know.
This is the first thing as far as I know.
I think it is. Okay, I was racking my brain during this whole thing trying to figure out.
But they just, and part of this is they're just really good actors. But they just, I mean, they seem exactly like they're supposed to be in the movie. Like, they're really good friends, but they also butt heads all the time. I mean, they nail that perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
They're so good, and they're the 99% of this movie, so that obviously makes the movie very watchable. Last night I actually tweeted out a little non-spoiler thing where I just said Ford v Ferrari is a crowd pleaser, and I mean that in the best way possible. And then Aaron Dicer actually commented on that and said, "Isn't it so nice when a movie presents itself as something and you actually get everything out of it that you wanted, you know? And I think that's the perfect way to say this movie. I've read where some people have called this like a meat and potatoes movie. I think there's a little more to it than that. Like, I think there's probably a little more meat on the bone, no pun intended, than, you know, maybe people are giving it credit for. So, I'm coming in with an A-. I'm not quite to an A just because, like I said, the Josh Lucas thing really bothers me. And I just don't know that there's enough uniqueness there to take it to that level. This feels very much like a Rocky movie or something like that. You know, we've definitely seen this before, but it's done so well. Maybe it's a little long, but I don't even know what I would cut. I just had a good time from beginning to end. So I'm gonna go with an A-.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going A here.
Awesome.
I agree with you about the Josh Lucas character. It's one of the. I have some struggles sometimes when I'm watching movies where I'm like, do I not like the actor or do I not like the character? And if I don't like the character, do I hate the movie? Because we're supposed to not like this character.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I've seen enough of these people to know that these people exist.
They definitely do.
And I've dealt with them at Regal a lot. So, like, yes, I felt like, yes, I don't like this guy. I think, yes, he is generic, but he's also somebody that I see a lot. And he plays it perfectly. I wish Josh Lucas over the years could have had a little bit. He seemed to have more of a career, like a big.
Yeah.
Like he was going to be a big star at one point.
I mean, I think that like anything else, maybe it's just choices he made. Like, I don't think Poseidon did him any favors.
No.
You know, I mean, but he's good. Don't get me wrong. I didn't have an issue with Helm. It was just the way they did the character, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I guess it felt like the movie didn't necessarily, like, I just feel like movies insert like this villainous role that doesn't necessarily need to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when we already have Ferrari as, you know, just from the title, like Ferrari is essentially like the antagonist.
Mm-hmm.
And it just felt like the movie just felt they had to just put this other character in here just to kind of, make things difficult for our two main characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. So that was, but it's very little. I mean, it's very little of a negative because obviously I'm still coming in at A-. I mean, I love the movie.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, that is part of it, right? Ford is a huge American brand.
Yeah.
And they think about things that are, you know, they don't think about the prize. They think about, you know, what things look like a lot of times and what, you know, stuff like that. So, I was able to forgive that, even if I don't even know if I'm forgiving it more than just saying whatever. It's good, but let's go on to the spoilers for this.
Cool.
No spoilers.
Kevin Spacey is Kaiser Sose.
Luke's what? Father is actually Darth Vader. She's the sister and the daughter. They just
No. I'm reading the books.
There aren't. As again, we're dealing with a real story here. I think that. A lot of this probably didn't happen, especially some of the things that we saw in the movie that are like big crowd pleasing moments. That didn't actually happen. I, for instance, I highly doubt there's a scene that I was like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Where Carol, takes a lug nut of some sort and like drops it by the Ferrari people.
Yeah.
And then the Ferrari people look and they're like, oh, did we not put that back on his car? Yeah. And you know, stuff like that, you know, but they're the little crowd pleasing moments. We get that.
Yeah. Like when he steals the, what does he steal? Stopwatches from them?
Yeah. He steals stopwatches. There's just a lot of little things like that. Maybe there's some grain of truth to that. I haven't looked into it enough, but some things you're pretty sure, like, I'm pretty sure that didn't happen.
I mean, if I heard that, like, you know, like, I'm sure there are people that are going to listen to this that are race fans, they'll know more than us. And please comment. Please let us know. But if I hear, like, maybe that is, like, you know, people in the pit crew fucking with each other, like, I wouldn't be shocked. But, yeah, like, that actually happened. I don't know.
Well, like you're saying, fucking with each other, like, maybe he took them.
Yeah.
But then he gave them right back or something
like that. Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
In this one, it's just a wholesale stealing of it.
Yeah, he's just like, you want one? I think they're made in Italy.
Yeah.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
But yeah, it's a real story, but it's so there's not much to spoil. We know that, let's see, where do we want to get into this? Ford wants to beat Ferrari. Actually, they want to acquire Ferrari at one point because they find out that Ferrari is bankrupt.
Yeah.
And so they want to swoop in and buy them. And then and this is the big Lee Iacocca part of it where he's supposed to be the hero of this. And he goes in, he tries to buy them. And meanwhile, Fiat wants to buy Ferrari.
Yeah.
And we find out the whole thing has been they've agreed to meet with Ford just so that Fiat would get catch wind of it
and
then drive up the price. And so, there's a whole part where Enzo Ferrari tells Lee Iacocca that you're in a shitty factory and you build shitty cars and you're all sons of whores and all that. And yeah. Henry Ford II is no Henry Ford.
And
everything, which when Iacocca comes back to tell what happened at the thing, Henry Ford II's like, so what did he say? And then he goes through that whole thing. What did he say about me? He says, you're no Henry Ford. And that's the part that really, like...
Yeah, it gets under his skin.
Yeah. And so for a while there, you think Henry Ford II's kind of an advocate for this whole thing. Like, first with Lee Iacocca, is like, yes, let's make these cars, whatever the cost. And so they get Carroll Shelby. He's apparently, like, this one of these preeminent, you know, best, you know, car makers. And Miles is the best kind of driver to test them out. And they've got a team that they just, you know. So the idea is to soup up their is it the GT40 is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
They have a car that they think is fast, but there's a lot of problems with it. And so like the immediate thing after driving that first one is that it's just too heavy and they just have to take out weight.
That's a great scene, by the way, where they're both in agreement that it's just a piece of shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And they have to take out weight. They have to do a whole bunch of stuff. There's another part where they put all these little strings of some sort all over it so that they can see how the air is like blowing them up. And they're like, okay, you see when they takes this turn, this is what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so they have to figure out some other things. And finally they get to the point where it's almost there, but they only have 90 days before they only have 90 days before this. So this is where Josh Lucas comes in and does his, I can't remember his character's name. It's like Leo something.
Oh, it's Leo Beebe or Beebe.
Leo Beebe.
Well, there's a scene early on where he invites Miles to come with him. They're doing that big introduction of the Ford and Shelby, the Mustang, and Shelby's going to say something. And there's a scene where Beebe and Ken Miles, Ken and Leo don't know each other, and they have a bit of a confrontation. I mean, Leo's being a complete dick to him about his kid touching the car and all that crap.
Yeah.
And then so Ken, of course, pulls a Ken Miles, and he goes off on some rant about how it's a piece of shit car, and he'd rather have this Chevy car.
Yeah, Chevelle.
And then he's like, and that's a piece of shit car also, you know. And so, obviously, I mean, and I don't know if that's the only reason that, you know, Leo doesn't want to have anything to do with
him. Well, I think Leo has gotten wind that Ken is one of these guys who doesn't know how to speak to people.
Yeah.
And that's just sort of the movie's way of saying, this is, you know, just fully in your face. Because I don't even know if he knows who, they don't even know who they each other is.
Yeah, at that point,
Until the Carol shows up and...
Yeah.
And then, so there's a point where they're about to go to Le Mans with the car that isn't completely ready yet. And Ken's the guy that's going to drive it. But then Leo comes in and says, no, we don't want him to come out there. We'll use somebody else. And then I thought this was a good scene too. Ken is in the garage, like fixing cars late at night, listening to the radio, this 24-hour race. And like every time he hears something happening with the car, he's like, well, that's what this is. And this is what that is.
Yeah.
And he's like, and then he'll hear, he hears at one point the car get ahead. And he's like, no, that's too soon. And all that. So you can see sort of how he, and then it just turns into another like wonderful thing when his wife shows up.
Yeah.
And she changes the radio station to some music and they just start dancing and everything's like,
she gives a really nice performance.
Oh, I love her.
I don't know how to pronounce her name. It's Kytriona Balfe is what I'll say. But, I don't know that I had seen her in anything before this. Maybe I had, but
She's in Escape Plan.
Okay. She's it looks like she might be one of the main people in Outlander, which I've never watched.
Yeah.
But I know that's a big thing. So, yeah, Now You See Me. So I guess I have seen her in some stuff, but she's excellent.
Yeah, yeah.
That's another great relationship in the movie is, you know, her and the Christian Bale character, they're married.
Yeah, obviously. There's a whole scene where she's wanting to know what he's doing. Because he's kind of, before he gets in with Carol and everything, he's bankrupt. His shop is no longer, the IRS has closed it down.
Yeah.
He's got like some 9-to-5 job, bringing a lunch pail to work type of job. Mm-hmm. And then Carol shows up and says, you know, well, I want you to be my test racer and all that. And she doesn't know what's going on. So she like drives recklessly down the street with him in the car and please, you know, you need to tell me what's going on. And he doesn't say it. Finally, they stop the car and he's like, okay, I'm doing this. I'm test driving this car. And they're like, well, how much does it pay? $200 a day. And they're like, she's like, are you mad? Like, take it.
Yeah. Yeah. But that scene's a great scene. And then the scene in the hangar where I guess that is kind of a hangar where he's listening to the Rays. That's one thing why I think this movie has a little more heft to it than most movies of this type, because most movies we would go to Le Mans.
Yep.
And we would watch Matt Damon's reaction to everything, and we would see the race and how they screwed up.
Yeah.
And we don't need to see that because we're going to see Le Mans later in the movie. So that was that's just one example of a tiny thing that they do that just makes this so much more interesting.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on this. This is one of these things, one of the centerpiece scenes of this movie where, yes, I was sitting there thinking the same thing. Normally, we just go to Le Mans.
Yeah.
But then, now all the mystique of Le Mans is taken away at that point. Once we see it happen, and then he goes there later.
Yeah. It would just be Rocky III. Most movies would do it like Rocky III, where you would see the Balboa Clubber Lang fight.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would just watch it again later.
Yeah.
or Creed II, for that matter.
Right.
But that's how most of these types of movies, they take that trope and that's what they do with it. And this one does something, it's different enough, and it makes it so much better.
Mm-hmm.
It's just crazy. Like, just one little thing like that, you know, and it just, yeah, like you said, the mystique would be gone.
Yeah.
Because when we get to Le Mans, it's so awesome.
Another scene that I loved, and you know, I don't know, there's other movies that would do this scene and it would be not as good. But Leo comes out and he wants to, I believe, once again, not let Ken Miles drive the car.
Yeah.
And this is Daytona that they don't want him to drive at this point.
No. It is. I'm sorry. I thought it was. Oh, was it Daytona where they were going next?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. I apologize.
It's the next year.
That's right.
There I don't know if it's the next part of the season. I don't know. Whatever. But anyway, Daytona is next. And once again, Leo doesn't want Ken to drive the car.
Yeah.
He comes out the whole Ford brass is coming out to see this, how this car is going along. And so Leo wants to talk to Carol, and Carol takes him into his office and then locks the door behind him. And so Leo is just sitting there like angry and stewing and like yelling for people to get him out. While Carol goes down and gets Henry Ford into the car and then takes him for a test drive, and this test drive is insane.
Yeah,
I don't know if you remember an old it was an old Pepsi commercial with Jeff Gordon. He was dressed up as somebody else. And he would take somebody.
Sounds
on.
Familiar.
And so Jeff Gordon would dress up like complete makeup. Nobody knew who he was.
Yeah. I think I know.
And
this.
He would take somebody on a test drive, and it would be this insane 160 mile an hour thing. And then by the end of it, he'd be like, "Ha ha, I'm Jeff Gordon." And of course, most of the effort around that commercial was always about, well, is that real?
Yeah.
These people had to have known this was really going on, but the reactions of everybody seemed very, very, very real. So they were either great actors, whatever. It's good video.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is exactly what happens with Carol driving John. I'm going to say John Ford.
I know. I hear you.
Henry Ford every time, and Henry Ford down this 200 mile an hour thing, whatever. This is this little course they have out there in the airport hangar.
Yeah.
And by the end, when he finally stops the car, the camera stays on both of them while Tracy Letts cries the entire time, just breaks down crying, and then finally is like, I wish my dad were alive to see this. And again, most movies, they would either say, okay, we get the point, and they would cut a whole bunch to Matt Damon's reaction and cut to, you know, and whatever. But they let it stay on there through at least two breakouts of crying. It's one of those, you know, repetition makes it funnier type of thing.
When at one point you even think he might be laughing, like it's the way they do it. Like, at least that's what I thought. I mean, I don't know if you're supposed to, but like at one point I was like, is he actually laughing? You know,
I think it is kind of both.
I think he's just overwhelmed.
Kind of both. It's not like crying, like, you know, sad crying by any means. It's a tension cry, for sure.
It's like an exaggerate. It's like when you're on a roller coaster or something and you're just like, you know, let it just, everything comes out of you at once.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's another fantastic scene in this. And then, you know, then there's the whole thing. Like right after that, the deal is Ken's got to win Daytona or he doesn't go to Le Mans,
which is also 24 hours. Like that confused me too.
That did confuse me. Like I guess there was a see now, and Daytona could mean a lot of things.
That's true.
Cause we know Daytona mostly as a NASCAR race, but there's probably several different other types of things.
That's right. Because that wasn't the NASCAR, because they even make a comment like, how are they going so fast? Like, oh, they hired a NASCAR crew. Making me think that wasn't a NASCAR event.
Right.
Cause they were surprised.
It's just at Daytona, probably at their racetrack, this is one of the parts of the movie that I'm pretty sure probably didn't happen.
You know,
when every time a movie puts the stakes to that level, you're just like, I'd probably not, but I'll look into it later. Ken's gotta win Daytona or else he doesn't go to Le Mans.
And Shelby loses his car dealership.
Yes.
Ford owns him.
Yeah, Ford
basically
owns it at this point. And so there's the Daytona race is basically where it comes down to that last lap, and like the car isn't car isn't supposed to go the speed that it goes, but I feel this car can go this fast, and you know, and then he pushes it and he's able to get across the finish line.
Because they make a whole thing. The Leo character, actually, he's telling news reporters or whatever that they're not going to go above 600 RPM.
6,000.
Or 6,000. Sorry. Yeah. God, if they didn't go over 600, that'd be a really boring race.
Yeah.
6,000. And then there's that whole part where, you know, Shelby goes out, holds up the sign and is like, you know, push it or whatever he says. And then the guys by Leo, like, I thought we weren't going over 6,000. He's like, shut up.
Yeah. Yeah. The reactions that Bale has as the driver are all great too.
Uh-huh.
Like there's points in there where, you know, there's real like, oh my God type stuff where he's got to avoid some things, but he's mostly cool about everything that's happening. He knows that there's chaos in front of him, but but most of the time it's just like, Oh my. Or, you know, stuff like that. Just very understated kind of reactions. And mostly there's really not an over the top reaction, but most of the time when he's like happy or whatever, you just kind of see that thrill.
Exactly.
That thrill of him driving.
I think a lot of this is the writing, and I mean, a ton of it's Bale, because Bale is obviously one of our best actors working today, but, I think a lot of it's the writing too, because I think the relationship with him and his wife works so well is because it makes him feel more like a real person. Like he's not just like, he is this over the top person. Like, you know, he gets angry and he throws wrenches at Matt Damon and stuff like that. But then like when he's with his wife by himself, he says, I can't get out of my own way. I mean, he admits to that, you know, like he admits his faults where like, I hate to keep going back to this that most movies, but I don't know that we would get that scene, you know, where he's just being very honest about, you know, I'm 45. I can't get out of my own damn way. This is just over. Like I can't do this anymore, you know?
Another part of the movie that now I'm going to go ahead and say the movie decides to tin cup sort of its ending, like sporting thing.
It does.
I don't know if this is how it happened. I do know, looking at some research, that Ford did have a race in Le Mans where their three cars finished top three.
Okay.
Not sure if it was this one, because Miles... Yeah. Miles is shown on Wikipedia as having competed in Le Mans in 1955. Mm-hmm. He finished like 98th or something. But then he has two first place finishes.
Okay.
And the one in this movie, Leo and everybody wants it to be where he's so far ahead, they want him to slow down so that the other two cars can catch up.
Yeah.
And they can go across the finish line at the same time. And so that's it. So it looks like he's going to defy those orders.
Yeah.
And he's looks in his rear view and he's like, you know what? I've never done the right thing in my life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Here's my chance to do the right thing. I can keep my job. You know, Carol can keep his.
Yeah, I think he's definitely thinking about Carol in that scenario.
And and so he decides, all right, I'm going to let these two cars catch up to me. And he does. And then they cross the finish line together. And then because of some technicality that the other car drove farther.
Yeah.
Because that's where they started. Because the beginning of Le Mans is everybody runs to their car.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have to drive across the starting line. So apparently that dude's car was a little bit farther. So when they went across the line at the same time, he drove a little bit farther. And so he gets the win. I don't know if that I don't think that happened, because if he's showing up as first place on this one.
I don't think that happened. And also, I was confused because I was sitting there thinking, like, I mean, in races like photo finishes where the one car is a little bit farther ahead than the other one, I would think you would have that in this scenario, because I don't know how all three of them could just show up, you know, at the same thing.
You can't pull out a ruler and be like, you know. Yeah, so that's one of those things that's I do like these kind of endings because we always seem to focus on the being the best in all these sports movies and everything. And I that's why I enjoy movies like Rocky and Tin Cup, that
Bad News Bears
where the winning the championship's not the main thing. It's sort of the you know, the cliche what we learned along the way type of bullshit. But everybody around you knows you're great and you're awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need a championship to prove that.
Well, yeah, and there's that great moment also with his wife where she's watching the TV and the son's freaking out because he's like, why is he slowing down?
Mm-hmm.
And then his wife realizes what he's doing, and then she's like, no, it's okay. And then she's like, good for you. You know, and it's, you know, just it's a beautiful little. It could be a little cheesy to some people, maybe, but I don't know. It worked for me.
No, it worked for me, too. I think again, we get back to other movies. I think in another movie, that same scene, the way they shoot it, the way they've set it up, doesn't work as well. But this one, it does.
You know, I read that, I don't know, you might have read this, too, but apparently they've been trying to make this for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
And originally, there was a possibility it was going to be Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt. And Joseph Kaczynski, I think, was going to direct it, which I assume this was around that time Cruise did the movie with Kaczynski, the sci-fi movie, which all of a sudden I can't think of the name of it.
Oblivion.
Yeah, it was. I assume that's what it was. So that almost kind of makes me think this would have been a director that Cruise would have had some control over. I feel like that would have been a very different movie. So I think I'm pretty glad we got the one we did.
Yeah, it's hard not to watch this and think of stuff like Days of Thunder, which is a lesser movie. You know,
that's a great example of a lesser version of
this. I mean, Days of Thunder is, of course, fun.
Exactly. Very entertaining.
Yeah. But you know, it's a very Bruckheimer, Tony Scott, you know, very just insane. It's an action movie.
Yeah, it's testosterone and just very surface level and just rah-rah, mm-hmm. you know, for the man.
So, like, it's good that these things fall this way sometimes, because Cruise in this movie, you would not be able to get that Days of Thunder out of your head.
I don't know that Cruise would have let his character finish the way Bale's character
probably
does.
Probably not.
I mean, I don't know. I could be wrong.
Who knows? No.
But I just think that would have been a very different movie. So I just thought that was interesting.
Pitt would have been the Damon?
I mean...
Would have been Carol Shelby?
I mean, and I guess it could have been reversed. I don't know, because I don't know enough about it. They just mentioned that was something that they were trying to get done.
Yeah.
And then it just didn't work out. And then obviously it fell through a few different hands. And then we eventually came up on this.
And then if you had the cruise pit thing, then you'd have parts where, you know, Brad Pitt is eating rats to stay alive. And he'd be interviewed by Christian Slater.
Probably.
It would be. Yeah. That exact thing would happen.
Kirsten Dunst would show up.
Kirsten Dunst. Well, she would be eight.
Yeah.
It would be weird.
Interview with Ford and Ferrari. Yeah, no, that would have been an interesting movie. I didn't mean to get us off track there, but I was just that seemed to me like I think we got the best version of this movie we were gonna get, and I'm glad it. You know, it's nice when things like this work out. You know,
yeah,
because this is the kind of thing where people talk about like a movie just being fun. Like, well, this is what I want when I hear that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because a movie can be just fun, but also have like all this like texture to it and mm-hmm. all, you know, all this, you know, meat to it here, say. So, yeah, I mean, this is so good. We've touched on Le Mans, but the way that Mangold and the cinematographer, just the way that was shot, was really interesting because, you know, it's just an eight, Shelby says at one point, it's an eight and a half mile stretch of road. And they're just going over it and over it for 24 hours. So that, you know, that would be a hard thing to, from a film standpoint, how are you going to make that interesting? And they pull it off.
And there are a lot of, this is something that we should have brought up, but, there are a lot of like these low angle shots that really get you down into those racing and everything. It doesn't overdo them or anything, but, I think the racing really gets you in there. The sound is really good in this.
Yeah.
I do love the way he filmed all that stuff. Absolutely. All that stuff.
Yeah.
At Le Mans.
And I think this is where the Lucas character starts bothering me a little bit because I do get like they do the scenes where Matt Damon steals the stopwatch and they do the thing where he drops the screws. And I get that they kind of have to have some things thrown in. So we're not just watching cars, you know. Mm-hmm. Racing, but that's where I felt like this is where the Lucas stuff felt a little contrived. Like they're still like going at it mm-hmm. even during the race when Ford is about to win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you would think everybody would just be at that point would just be fucking happy.
Yeah, that they'd have the top three cars. Yeah. And that's all you need to know.
but they still have to make the Lucas character like be a villain.
Yeah,
even though, like I said, you've got Ferrari as the antagonist, and I mean that's all the movie really needs. But you're right. People like the Lucas character 100% exist in corporate America.
Oh, it's
no doubt.
So it's so annoying. we really, really loved this. What do you think about this movie? go to Sincast presented by CinemaSins on Facebook. We have a CinemaSins Twitter, mm-hmm. Music Video Sins Twitter. We're on Reddit. We're on SoundCloud. We're on Discord. If you want to get on Discord, come to Facebook and private message me, and I can give you a link. Or you can go to Reddit, and there's one on the right side of the page.
Awesome.
And Jonathan?
Yeah, you can reach me at SamLoomis13 on Twitter. And I'm also, every week, you can hear me on the Behind the Scenes podcast with Aaron Dicer and Danae Hughes.
Awesome. All right. Well, that'll do it for this mini-pod of Ford v. Ferrari. It's Chris Atkinson, Jonathan Watkins. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Comment on our episodes on our SoundCloud page. Check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Reddit. And be sure to visit CinemaSins.com.
I saw this... mostly when I went to that Spider-Man 3 premiere,
mm-hmm.
they invited just about everybody in the area to come out and help out with it. So like for a whole week I was hearing like, you know, people were like cleaning things mm-hmm. and making sure everything looked all neat and everything. And when I got there, the only time I was there was the morning of, and I helped clean some things, but they, you get all these district managers who come in. Mm-hmm. And they're all like, I see this little like spot over here by this that nobody's going to see ever except him because he wants to have this idea that he's got some job that, you know, And they always have these ideas like, if we could do this, it'll be the perfect premiere. And you're just like, God damn it, man. Fuck
just
you.
Leave stuff alone. Yeah. It almost feels like it's more like you've got to have something to say, even though you don't necessarily.
Right.
Like you just feel like that's if you don't say something, then you're going to get screwed.
Well,
somehow.
And meanwhile, I remember the screen that Sam Raimi and Kirsten Dunst and Tobey Maguire and all of them were in. The screen that they watched that in, like you guys sat here and cleaned all this bullshit all over the place that none of these people are going to care about.
Yeah.
And the screen has these splotches on it. And why didn't you like order a whole new screen or clean the
and
screen?
You know, Sam Raimi probably noticed that.
Oh, he guaranteed he noticed that. You can't be a person in his position and not notice that.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay. Yeah. You guys wanted me to move a butter machine because it looked ugly, but